Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, Andy Burnham has just become Britain's Prime Minister, Britain's seventh Prime Minister in a decade. And something very frightening has happened, something very unnerving, something very dangerous. He has appointed as his Director of Political Strategy one Matthew McGregor. And that Matthew McGregor can be said to have been heavily involved with the stochastic terrorism which has led to the assassination of Anne Widdecombe, which occurred about 2 weeks ago. And that is what I want to look at today, the nature of this now highly influential man in government, Mr. McGregor, and what it means about really the kind of neo-communist regime that Andy Burnham is likely to lead. But before I do that, could you please do me a favour? Could you possibly subscribe? Could you subscribe on YouTube and leave a like and hit the bell button and leave a comment and all that? And could you subscribe to my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most basic stuff I've ever put on YouTube, in-person interviews, vlogs, blogs, films I make, including a most recent one on Moldova, where there is currently an offer where you can get a free-month sample. And where, if you like what I do, you can support me for the cost of a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. So, as you may well know, on the 8th of July, Anne Widdecombe, who was a former Brexit Party MEP, a Reform Party spokesman, and a former Conservative minister, and who was highly conservative in her views, who was anti-abortion, who was anti-gay rights, that sort of thing, was assassinated in her own home in Devon by a communist nutcase by the name of Joshua Kerry, who had made his way all the way from Rotherham in the north of England to rural Devon in the middle of nowhere to find her and beat her to death with some kind of club. And the police messed around and lied, as did the government at the time, to try to stop any kind of backlash about this. They insisted there was no political motive. They insisted there was no terrorist connection, even though he was arrested by anti-terrorism police. And they put out this lie, which has been revealed to be a lie, that there was a successful anti-far-right terrorism operation in rural Suffolk, where a Muslim meeting was under threat from actual terrorists, and they intervened and people weren't killed as a consequence. And now it turns out that all the people that they arrested 12 far-right activists, have been released without charge. So obviously, in the context of the crisis over Anne Widdecombe being assassinated, they wanted to draw attention away from the fact that it is in fact far-left terrorism that we have to worry about by making out there was some far-right terror plot, and it turned out to be a complete lie. It turned out that, as in the Soviet Union, the government and the police and the media were simply lying to us to draw attention away from something deeply politically inconvenient that had occurred, which was that a person who was on the far left had assassinated Anne Widdecombe. So that's pretty much the background to this situation. And something further has happened, which I've also commented on in a different video, which is that a few days after this all came out, Hope Not Hate, the anti-freedom organisation that basically publishes an annual hit list called the State of Hate Report, in which it highlights anybody that it considers beyond the pale as being, you know, a fascist, a racist, an Islamophobe, a Nazi, whatever, including myself. Hope Not Hate took down from their website their Anne Widdecombe article. And their Anne Widdecombe article highlighted, you know, that she was a bigot. It basically, it highlighted that she was, you know, beyond the pale. It basically unpersoned her. It made it quite clear to those that are on side that this is a bad and evil and wicked person. This is a vile, disgusting person. It dehumanized her. It made her into something less than human. It made her into something less than socially acceptable. In a way, it could be argued that it engaged in a kind of stochastic terrorism, i.e. it basically implied to its supporters, to its nutty supporters like Joshua Kerry, that this person doesn't really deserve to live, that this person is evil, that this person is scum. And then it sort of lets someone like Joshua Kerry do the rest. Now, you could argue that it's taken it down because it's extremely embarrassed by what has happened, that it makes it look bad that she's been assassinated and that they have spoken about her in such an inflammatory way, in such a way that for certain kinds of left-wing extremists could basically incite murder. Or you could argue that it's taken it, they've taken it down because it's done its job. Cross her off the list. It's done its job. Job done. What's the point of having it up there anymore? She's been taken out. But either way, that is what they've done. It's almost like they're admitting that there's a degree to which the purpose of these mini hateful hit piece biographies is to incite violence against those they are about. But what is particularly scary is that while they have, in the process of doing this, engaging in this kind of stochastic terrorism, the person who was the Hope Not Hate director of communications between 2018 and 2021 was Matthew McGregor himself. Matthew McGregor, who is now the director of political strategy, And remember what Hope Not Hate strategy was. It was to basically incite violence against its opponents, incite hatred against its opponents, make inflammatory statements about its opponents in order to get them driven out of their jobs, in order to get them driven off social media, in order to get them frightened to come out of their houses, perhaps, in order potentially to get them beaten up or even killed. That's the strategy. I mean, that's clearly their strategy, a kind of terrorism, essentially, a kind of de facto terrorism that upholds, as a violent mob, really, upholds everything that is woke, such that even people like Priti Patel, a Conservative Member of Parliament, or the Prime Minister himself at the time, Rishi Sunak, were in the Hope Not Hate report. Anybody that in any way, in even people on the left that deviate from their woke ideas, such as George Galloway or Piers Corbyn, are in the report. Anybody that is in any way a dissident, these are the thugs of the regime, the violent thugs of the regime that use intimidation tactics and inflammatory remarks in order to shut down and frighten and break and hurt their political opponents, whom they see as enemies rather than opponents. These do not believe in democracy. They're enemies, to shut them down, to intimidate them, to make them be quiet, to wreck their lives so that they no longer oppose the woke ideas, which these people have adopted in the most extreme extent in order to sort of narcissistically proclaim that they are the most moral, they are the best, and get narcissistic supply to tell them that they are the best in order to overcome their own negative feelings, their feelings of inferiority, their feelings of self-doubt. That's their strategy. And this man, who was their director of communications, will be the director of political strategy effectively for the entire government. This man was gloating some years ago about a campaign in which he was attacking Reform UK and in which he was attacking the Brexit Party. He refers to the Brexit Party, which Anne Widdecombe was a member of the European Parliament for, as having, I quote, vile views and racist views. It is interesting to know that since that happened, he seems to have deleted his Twitter account. So I'd be interested to know what kind of stuff was on his Twitter account. In articles in The Guardian, McGregor writes, Islamophobia is rife among Tory members. So what is this word, Islamophobia? What are you actually saying if you accuse someone of Islamophobia? You are basically inciting Muslims, extremist Muslims, to attack those people. You are using what for Muslims is a highly charged word, Islamophobia, Islamophobic. You are saying this person is beyond the pale for Muslims. This person should perhaps be punished by Muslims. Similarly, he accuses people of anti-Semitism. Again, another shut up word, another highly emotional, elastic word. It's quite difficult to define. You're trying to get these people in trouble. You're trying to get these people fired. He's written articles for the Metro in which he justifies the destruction and the vandalism of statues, such as that of Churchill, saying, why does the UK seem to value statues more than human lives? like the implication being that we should tear down the statues of all of people because it upsets other people and their feelings are what matters. There's an interview in which he talks about modernity and the nature of the new threat. So again, the idea that those that are different from you, those that have different political opinions from you, are threatening. They are dangerous. And this leads to a general atmosphere of tension, a general atmosphere of suspicion, a general atmosphere of low-level violence, a general atmosphere of low-level sort of civil war, essentially, that is pioneered by nutcases on the left. And presumably then there is a counter-reaction by a similar kind of psychological type on the right. And it inspires these lone wolves, such as this Joshua Carey chap, to engage in terrorist acts. And ironically, it's the Labour Party that was talking during Brexit. They were so concerned about language during the Brexit negotiations. How dare you use the word traitor? How dare you use these kinds of negative words? It's appalling. It's intimidating. It's terrible. Don't do it. But yet they do it themselves. And we now have a person, 38 Degrees he's from. He was working for, more recently, a group called 38 Degrees, in which they argue that Tommy Robinson and Katie Hopkins should be banned from Twitter, i.e. banned prominent and eloquent opponents, and those that have a serious following from Twitter, because they oppose your ideas. So Matthew McGregor, also in terms of, I don't know if my book, How to Judge People by What They Look Like, unsurprisingly, the evidence is that people that are left-wing are left-wing because they are very unhappy and they are very neurotic and whatever, and they are very narcissistic and they need narcissistic supply. One of the things that predicts being a narcissist is being short. And this guy, Matthew McGregor, is noticeably squat. He's short and ugly and prematurely grey. And these traits predict being left-wing. A, because being left-wing is basically unnatural. It's a sign of mutational load, of mutant genes, of deviating from what we were selected for under harsh Darwinian conditions. And B, because if you're a deeply unhappy person, then you express that unhappiness by wanting to, and you hate everything, you're resentful, and so you want to, and you feel you should have more power than you do, then you want to tear down everything around you, everything that's traditional, everything that's good and kind and wholesome. These things provoke you because you're so unhappy. You want to tear down all that is good so you can feel better about yourself. And there's evidence that people that are short, men, particularly men that are short, feel exactly like that. They feel left out, they feel excluded, they feel unattractive, and so they're drawn towards they feel resentful, and so they're resentful of that which has power, and they're resentful of tradition, and therefore they're drawn towards that which attacks any sort of source of traditional power and any sort of source of hierarchy. And they tend to adopt narcissism, that they're perfect morally, as a way of coping with their shortness. And the way that you get narcissistic supply in a left-wing society is, of course, by being super left-wing. So even his physiognomy is consistent with this man being a very dangerous man. And it is extremely dangerous, indeed frightening, that Andy Burnham, the Prime Minister, will be taking advice from a man who essentially was significant part of an organization that engaged in deliberate stochastic terrorism. So it will be very interesting to see how this bears out. I hope this has been of interest, and thank you very much for watching, and have a good day, and see you soon, and goodbye.
Are you ready for the future of the West?